Hello, I'm Cheryl Irwin. Stephen Glenn, a lecturer and author who was nationally respected for his work with children and families, used to say that there were four phrases he'd like to eliminate from the language. They are good girl, good boy, bad girl, and bad boy. Really? How on earth could it be harmful to call a child good or bad? Well, stop and think for a moment. Let's say you're 3 years old, actively exploring your world and just learning how to use your body, your words, and your mind. Being a curious and perceptive little person, you notice that the response you get from adults varies depending on what you do. When you follow their rules, don't make messes or noise, and don't break things, you're good. When you get into trouble, you're bad. Bad is accompanied by a creased forehead, lowered brows, and a stern voice, maybe even a smack or a timeout. Good gets you smiles and hugs. Sometimes it even gets you candy. You may decide you like being good, so you work hard for those moments of approval. What could possibly be wrong with that? Don't parents want their children to behave well and to make good choices? Well, let's run the tape forward a few years. Now that 3-year-old is 12 and the stakes have gone up. Grades and behavior that aren't good can be devastating to a child whose entire self-worth is built on being good, on pleasing others and earning their approval. The truth is that many children who are praised excessively for good behavior and good grades decide somewhere along the way that they're worthwhile and lovable only if they're good, and that approach to life can create serious problems. The words good and bad are value judgments, and children instinctively know that. Telling a child you're a bad boy sends a very different message than, please don't throw Cheerios at your sister. Value judgments are about a child's inherent worth and teach a child that she has value only when an adult says so, when she's good. And when children can't risk failure or mistakes, when all that matters is being good, they may become unable to take appropriate risks, to learn from their behavior, and to give themselves permission to try new things. I occasionally ask children and teenagers, "Do your parents love you?" Many say yes and smile. But some tell me, without a hint of irony, "Yes, they love me when I get good grades," or "They love me when I do my chores." That's what we call conditional love, and it doesn't work very well for young humans, nor for anyone else. All of us need a sense of belonging and significance that has nothing to do with success or failure. We need to know that we belong and are loved and valued regardless of our behavior. We need unconditional love and discipline that teaches skills and limits without calling into question our worth as human beings. Here are a few suggestions to consider. Stop saying good boy or good girl. Instead, be specific and tell your child what you like or notice about what he did. Give specific directions about behavior that is or is not appropriate. Remember, effective discipline teaches both character and life skills. Teach your children that mistakes are just opportunities to learn and that we all make mistakes. Be honest about your own and your children will be more willing to fess up to theirs. A child who misbehaves isn't bad. All of us should be able to make mistakes without risking our sense of worth and dignity. Don't compare children. Notice your child's unique qualities, help him build on his strengths and manage his weaknesses. Pay attention to whether you blame one child more than others. Behind many problem children are good children trying to make their siblings look bad. Last but not least, encourage effort and progress in the right direction. Sure, it's easier to live with a good child, but what is easy for you may not be best for your child. Like all of us, children need to know they are loved unconditionally, even on their bad days. For KUNR, this is Cheryl Irwin.